that is seasoned with salt. And when it comes to adding spice to our seasoning of food, we all have different tastes. Some like it extra hot, some like it kind of hot, some like it mild, and some like it plain. I mean, there's some, like myself included, who go to the extreme when it comes to seasoning. I mean, people who usually sit by me usually end up sneezing when they sit near me because I like large amounts of pepper on my food. So seasoning, sometimes in the addition, always improves or in some way changes the original item, always for the better in most instances. In some people, seasoning is the strengthening or the flavoring of our souls through our personalities. Kind of like a caterpillar who uses a cocoon to become a butterfly. Our souls are kind of like in our human body. It grows strong and whole. And God uses our life, uses our experiences that we have during our seasoning to kind of flavor our souls. But it's your choice to how that seasoning is used. It's your choice of how much seasoning is added to season and flavor your soul, creating that unique flavor. A unique flavor with a soul which creates a fragrance of Christ. And what we will become when we shed this cocoon of a body and become one with Him in glory. A very wise person said one time, "We're not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. We strive to stay alive with all the strength we have. To give our souls the time to grow and to get the seasoning just right." But there's a tricky thing about seasoning, because too much of a good thing can be bad. And at the same time, not enough of a good thing is bad also. And we really tend to notice this especially during the holidays. Have you noticed that? And it usually starts around Thanksgiving. Because, the smell of the turkey, cinnamon, apple pies, pumpkin pies. Y'all probably have noticed some of it last night. Maybe if y'all had some dinner on Christmas Eve with a lot of your families. Probably we'll have some this afternoon. Maybe you've smelled some of the good stuff cooking. It's the perfect balance of all the spices and seasonings and ingredients that make a good dish what it's supposed to be. And that brings us up to the spices that the wise men brought to the baby Jesus. Seasonings, if you will. Because you see, if spices and seasonings are out of balance in our lives become out of whack. Our lives become imbalanced. So the gifts the Magi brought to the baby Jesus and placed on this special child, they just weren't any type of seasoning. I mean, when the Magi went to see the baby Jesus, you got to understand there weren't any Walmart that they could stop up on the way down there and pick up some Huggies and wet wipes, to bring to the baby Jesus. They had to put some thought into this. These guys were very wise. They're very smart. They put a lot of thought into these things. These men were well seasoned. They studied the scriptures. They were very wise. They knew the prophecy. And to be sure, they studied it really well, and they knew what they were doing. Because you see, when you're well seasoned, you get to know people other than just yourself. You become flavorful in someone's life instead of just being a hair in someone's soup. You understand what I'm saying? And these Magi, or wise men, brought him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold, the value of gold, it's always classic. It's never going to go out of style. It's always been the standard. It never runs out. It's the best you can always give anyone. I mean, it's a standard commerce across all cultures. And it says to the Christ child, "You will be king." Frankincense is more of a symbolic gift. It's an incense. It's a highly valuable gift. Now, the frankincense isn't something that you can go down at the local head shop and buy. It's not like the incense you use in your house to cover the odors up, like when your husband comes out of the bathroom or something. Frankincense, you got to understand, these spices were highly valuable then. You couldn't just get these anywhere. They were highly sought out. and they were highly valuable. And so frankincense was more used by people in the ancient East as an aid to their praying because it was very flavorful. And it rose as smoke up into the air as a gift of prayer. It was a spiritual gift that they brought to the newborn king. And myrrh is perhaps one of the most mysterious gifts of all. It was more of an oil type gift. It was extracted from a tree and it was in medicinal purposes. It had an antiseptic or anti-inflammatory quality to it. And so when frankincense and myrrh, sometimes you could mix those two together and they created somewhat of an antidepressant for a lot of, they used it for like postpartum for the women to help it treat anti-depression and sometimes if a woman was having problems with bleeding after a birth, they would give it to them for that. And when they were finished with that, they could use it for incense. So it was a very valuable gift. These men studied that and they brought that to them. Also, an interesting fact about myrrh is myrrh was also used. It was a kind of a symbolic towards Jesus' prophecy. They used it to embalm mummies with. And so it was a prophecy, kind of what Jesus was going to do, to die for us. So as we examine these gifts brought by these well-seasoned men to the newborn king that seasoned the life of the Christ, we can better understand what Paul was talking about in Colossians when he was talking about and showing us how we can season and flavor the lives as we encounter each other each day. Not just during the holiday season, when he says, "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you should know how to respond to each person." I don't know about you, but as I was watching Lucy up there singing, that was a perfect example of what we were talking about today. Because I remember when Lucy first came over here, right after she married Steve. And she could barely speak any English. And I'm not talking about the quality of English she was speaking up there on the stage. I was just watching from the purity of her heart singing to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I was just enjoying the seasoning from her heart. Her fragrance and her seasoning was an offering to the Lord, and it was very fragrant and it was well seasoned. And that's what I enjoyed. And that's what I hope that you all would understand today, because she was a living example of what I'm speaking about today. So that's what we're talking about. So season your life with the salt of Christ. And an interesting thing about salt is man's salt appetite isn't the only reason that we use salt in food. It makes food safe as well as other tastes. It makes sweets taste sweeter. It also masks bitter tastes. Salt makes natural foods taste like chocolate and broccoli delicious. Chocolate in its natural form is bitter. Any child who snuck into his mother's refrigerator and found this giant bar in there and decided to sneak a bite out of it found out the hard way that chocolate in its natural form is bitter. And salt makes chocolate bitter. Because chocolate in its natural form is bitter. We, in our natural form, are bitter. Trust me on that one. I know personally. The salt of Christ makes us sweet and flavorful. Before history, man learned that salt's key role was preservation, the slow spoilage of microorganisms, to keep food from rotting. That's why we, as God's people, are called to be the salt of the world. In today's world, it's the business of the church and God's people to slow the decay of the depravity and disease in society in our world. If left to its own devices, the world would self-destruct. But you see, God's great news is that Jesus came into this world and He'll make everything new. And the good news is communicated by us and communicated in our worlds. But in order for the world to hear it, in order for the people to hear it, we've got to be well seasoned, not some hair in the soup. We've got to be able people to get along with each other. We've got to be able to accept each other. We've got to be able to enjoy the seasoning of each other before we can tell the world that Jesus Christ has come into this world. Because if we can't understand each other within the church, if we can't accept each other's seasoning in the church, if we can't taste each other and enjoy each other, how are we going to tell the lost and dying world about the Jesus that's coming into this world with the good news? And to be sure that you understand the message of God's peace on earth, goodwill towards men, we've got to understand this thing called grace. Because you and I have seasoning within our lives that are different from each other. We all have a common seasoning, such as table salt and pepper, that you see on every restaurant in America. Salt and pepper. We use that every day. You and I probably have that common in our lives. But just as that spice rack that you, well, at least for guys, that probably got that for their mother sometime in Christmas or their birthday, because, you know, you probably thought your mother needed a spice rack in their kitchen when you were young, that they have spices on them, all those different variety of spices. We all have different spices, and it's up to us to be well-seasoned in using them. I mean, have you ever thought about those seasonings that you saw in that spice rack? Think about some of those seasonings in that spice rack that you got there. There's a whole bunch of those things in there. I've looked at some of those. I mean, for example, there's one of them called, is it thyme? Thyme? How do you say thyme? Thyme? Thyme, okay. Just exactly what is thyme? I mean, I don't know if I've ever just pulled out any of that thyme and sprinkled it on a sandwich. But let me tell you a little bit about thyme when I found out about it. And see if you can kind of compare this to your personality. It's often used to flavor meats and stews, and because of its mild flavor, it's difficult to over-season any food. It's very versatile and extremely hardy, but there's one thing about it, it's sensitive to frost. And also, thyme is also slow to release its flavors. Now maybe that's your seasoning, maybe that's your personality. Maybe you're a lot like thyme, maybe you're versatile, maybe you're hardy, maybe you're slow to kind of get to know or reveal about yourself, maybe you're slow to release your flavors. And maybe you know there's one thing you need to stay away from that you know that'll bring you down, or that you know that'll upset you, or you know that'll really get you upset, and you know you need to stay away from. Another weird thing I noticed about those spice racks is the thing called bay leaves. Those are kind of weird. I mean, those things, of course, as a inquisitive young boy, those things are nasty. I tried chewing on one time. I mean, you know, you see cinnamon sticks and you think, well, that's kind of interesting. So I wonder what these leaves taste like. But that's because bay leaves, I found out, are used as a fixture in cooking many European cuisines, such as in the Mediterranean or as well as North America. They're used in soups and stews and meats and vegetables and seafood. But if eaten whole, bay leaves are pungent and have a sharp, bitter taste, which you find that out real quick. And as with many spices and flavorings and fragrance, the bay leaf is more noticeable than it is for its taste. And the leaves are most often whole and removed before serving because they can be abrasive to the digestive tract. And bay leaves can also be scattered in the pantry to repel moths, flies, and roaches. Great, no wonder it tasted bad. I was chewing on roach repellent. So, you never know. So, maybe God wants to use you as a bay leaf. Maybe God wants to use you as a show dog. Maybe you're not one to like thyme to be used in as far as talking or personality or speech. Maybe God wants to use you more as show. Maybe God wants to use you to dress something up. Maybe he wants to add you to not so much as conversation all the time. Maybe you're not good for conversation a lot of times. Maybe he just wants to show you to do something. Maybe he wants to add you to the dressing, to some work he's done. Maybe he knows you're more of a doer than a talker, and maybe he knows that. Maybe you're like the bay leaf. You see, each one of us have seasonings that differ in our lives. And we have similar seasonings, and we're still mixed together with different spices even then. And that's what makes America great. Some of us are a little more saltier than others, like Jim. And some of us are a little more crustier than others around the edges, kind of like Donnie. But we all have wonderful seasonings that make us flavorful and good and wonderful. Maybe you're a mild person. Maybe you're not the spicy type. Some people would say you're plain, and that's okay. Don't ever think being a plain person is not okay. You know, it saddens me when people are only attracted to spicy personalities. They become addicted to that spicy personality, and you come across a plain person and you lose interest in them real quick. Maybe they're not really good with conversation, or they're not a real talker, and so you lose interest with them and move quick. It saddens me so many times because they miss out on so much tapestry that God has for their lives. And then they just dismiss them. And so a lot of times we miss out on that being well seasoned because we just dismiss them. And let me say another thing also. Maybe you're the type that has a radical seasoning. Maybe you're into radical Christianity. You live life on the edge. And you do a lot of things that are cutting edge in your life, maybe even with your faith. I've done a lot of radical things in my faith a lot of times with Christianity. And let me say something about that really quick. And I've been guilty of this myself. Don't expect other people to like your seasoning just because you think it's good for you. If you really are living on the edge with your radical Christianity, don't call another Christian weak because they're not into it. Because they're not interested in it, maybe. They may not be able to handle it at that point in time in their life. They may not be ready for it right there at that time. Because when you do that to another brother or sister, and maybe they're not ready to handle that in their life right there, that would be the same thing as me, just because I like habanero peppers. And jalapeno peppers, and I really like those, and they're spicy in my food. And I say, Randy, man, you're missing out. This habanero pepper, and you see me eating that thing, and you see sweat pouring from my face, and man, this will really liven your Mexican food up. You got to have one. And it's like, no way. Come on, you're a wimp, Randy. Eat it. No way. Because if I intimidate you like that, it's not going to want to make you eat it anymore, because you know what it'll do to your system. You know, it'll set you on fire. And so when we do that to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ with our radical faith, it's the same thing. It's not going to be any better for them. And sometimes if we finally talk them into that, it's the same thing if we finally coerce someone into taking that hot pepper. We finally, we're satisfied because we finally got them to take a bite out of it. But once they take a bite out of it, they're sorry they did it. They're off running around to the bathroom for some water or something else. So be careful in that, in your seasoning, that you don't try to over-season something else. Just be careful in that. Because being well-seasoned, be careful in that. Let me clear up something about this. Just be careful. Being well-seasoned just means you're good at what you do. You're in the Word. You're full of grace. You're open to hear the promptings of the Father and being obedient to Him. So you can be a plain person and a mild person and still be well seasoned. You see, as we appreciate each other's seasonings, we encourage each other to be well seasoned. And we're sprinkled with the grace of Christ. The following, because you see, it's the power of words, even through Christmas carols, that bring the grace of Christ and the mercy of Christ to mankind, just as we've sang about it. The following is an excerpt from a British soldier one time during Christmas Eve of 1914 to illustrate the power of how strong seasoning is of grace and mercy. And it goes like this. Standing here in the trenches on Christmas Eve in the year 1914, I never hoped to see a stranger more lovely sight. Clusters of tiny lights were shining along the German front line, left and right, as far as the eye could see. What is it? I asked in bewilderment as John, my trench line mate, answered, Christmas trees. Christmas trees. And so it was. The Germans had placed Christmas trees on the front line of their trenches, lit by candles or lanterns as beacons of goodwill. And then we heard voices raised in song. Stille Nacht, heilige Nacht. And this carol wasn't familiar to us in Britain, but John knew it and he translated it to me. It was Silent Night, Holy Night. And I've never heard one lovelier or more meaningful in that quiet, clear night. Its darkness was softened by the first quarter moon. And then when the song was finished, the men in our trenches applauded. Yes, British soldiers were standing there applauding the Germans. And then one of our own men started singing. He started singing, and we all joined in. And he started singing, "The first Noel, the angel did say." Now, in truth, we didn't sound as good as the Germans with their fine harmonies. But they responded with an enthusiastic applause of their own. And then all of a sudden, they began another. O Tannenbaum, O Tannenbaum. And then we replied with another. O come, all ye faithful. But this time, they joined in, except their words were in Latin. Adeste fideles. British and German harmonizing in no man's land. Yes, that's what we called it. I would have thought there was nothing more amazing, but what came next was even more so, because our captain came up and said, "We've agreed that there's going to be no shooting before midnight tomorrow," our captain announced. And in minutes more, there we were in no man's land. Over 100 soldiers and officers on each side, shaking hands of men we'd been trying to kill just hours earlier. Even those who couldn't converse could still exchange gifts. Our tea for their coffee. Our corned beef for their sausage. I myself traded a jackknife for an equipment belt. A fine souvenir for when I get home. And as it grew late, a few more songs were traded around the fire. And then all joined in. And I'm not lying to you. We sang Auld Lang Syne. And then we parted with promises to meet tomorrow. And with even talks of a football game. And reflecting upon that Christmas miracle, I asked myself, what could cause two opposing armies fighting to the death to lay down their arms and embrace each other as friends? Only grace and mercy, the same grace and mercy that entered men's hearts another night more than 2,000 years ago. On a night an angel announced to the world through a tiny band of shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." As you go home today and enjoy your presents, I'd like you to think about the present that you can still give during the remainder of this holiday and practice throughout the next year about being well seasoned in your speech and in what you do. May we be well seasoned in our speech, even those who we're at odds with, in our daily lives, to cross our paths, and in our daily routines. May we be as well seasoned as the Magi and present our life as a gift to the Savior, as our spice and seasoning. And the gift of focus, maybe, to someone we've neglected. The gift of humility to someone maybe we've wronged. The gift of forgiveness to those who've been burdened by shame, maybe. Or the gift of maybe mercy to someone who hasn't even earned it yet. Or the gift of encouragement to maybe someone who's been taken for granted. Or the gift of eternal life to someone who's lost that you know of in your life. Our lives may be seasoning to someone who's hungering for the love of God. Let's be well seasoned. Let's not be someone's hair in the soup. Let's rather be soup. Let's rather be the salt that keeps them coming back and hungering for more. Thank you all for taking time out again to honor the Christ child. As we close today, I would just like to say to you all as a church family that I love you all very much. Very much. And I just want you to know that y'all are very special to me and Kisha. We love you very much. And I hope that we can be seasoning to you, because you've definitely seasoned our lives with your love and still continue to do so. And we thank you for that. And you've made our lives a blessing. And we love you. Merry Christmas. God bless you.